recording.
Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Good afternoon to you all. Great to have your company this Wednesday afternoon. You're with Mariska and Irene again. We suggest that you pour yourself a cuppa, sit back, relax, and join the conversation. You're listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Again, and another power cut. Irene, remember last week we were talking about power cuts. You were struggling to get your car out of the garage. It's just winter time, I suppose, in this weird weather that we are having. Now, did you get a power cut this time?
No, not this time. But, boy, last time. I mean, like I said, I didn't learn my lesson the first two times, and so the car's stuck in the garage. I have no internal access, only external access, so that's it. No power, no car, no anything. But it also made me remember that it's so important to have the emergency cupboard where you can access it. My emergency cupboard is in the garage. Ho hum, that doesn't work. So, you know, I had five clients ring me with the last power cut, wanting to know where their torches, etc. were. And, of course, they had no emergency cupboard. So now we have emergency cupboards for all of them. It's so easy, you know, just a little camp stove, a lantern that works very easily, or a torch that's got good batteries in it. There's not much that you need in that cupboard, but it needs to be where you can get to it easily and in the dark without being able to see.
And I think one that you're familiar with, because as you're talking, I know we haven't got like a proper kit, but there's stuff like batteries and little spare bits are in my hot water cupboard, because we're always in the hot water cupboard getting towels and stuff out. So it's a cupboard I'm very familiar with. It's in a very, well, for us, it's in a very easy access place. And so, yeah.
Yeah, you have to make sure that it's in your living area, because when the power goes out, that's more than likely where you're going to be. If it's downstairs in the basement or somewhere else, then you've got to stagger around in the dark and probably break your neck trying to get to it. So you really do need to have it somewhere where it's very easy to get to, which then takes up room in your most used areas, you know, like the kitchen, which you really don't want to do. But hey, it's worth it, particularly if you've got children.
And it has been drummed into us, especially after the earthquakes that we have had of recent times, you know, that we should have an emergency kit at least to be able to survive a couple of days. And it doesn't matter how much it's drummed into us. I know a few people that do actually have it, and I also know one family that have done an emergency drill, so pretended that it's off, how they would contact each other if they weren't all at home, and where they would meet at the house. And so they've actually done that. I keep thinking, yeah, it would be good, because I've got plenty of space to put a little kit somewhere, a little box, you know, that has that stuff. But you're right, like a little camping stove, even with the power cuts we have here, you know, they're so annoying. Those little camping stoves are absolute gold.
And it could be so much fun. I remember when my twin granddaughters were young, I think they were only about 5 or 6 or something, and they came over to stay with Nanny for the weekend, and we camped out inside the house. You know, I only had a little 2-bedroom flat, and we turned all the lights off, and we just had torches and candles, and we had to read our books and tell our stories, and of course we told ghost stories with the candles under our chin.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we just had a camp out day and collected all the bits and pieces we need for if there was no power.
And, you know, it does. It actually brings families together. Isn't that interesting? In this day and age when we're all so busy and, you know, we hardly see each other, we need a power cut to bring us all together just for a moment. Even things like doing the dishes together, because the dishwasher won't work, you know?
Dishwasher? I haven't had one of those for ever.
Oh, I'll tell you what, once you get one, you don't want to go back. I'll give you that. But it is interesting. So what would we put in that kit? And I suppose what we will do is we will put the Civil Defence website up there, because they will have a kit there that we should know. But I know, you're right, a little camping stove with some extra gas bottles. And that's all very, actually, that's all very, very affordable. Pop down to Mitre 10 or, you know, the local hardware store and grab a few of those. Candles, obviously, light.
All of that. So just whatever you take camping with you is what's good. But tell me, how did you get on with that storm that went through with all your trees and your nuts and your animals? And what happened?
Yeah, that was interesting. And, you know, I'm just a pathetic mother, really, because I'm going up in the middle of the night checking that the ponies are okay, you know, for goodness sake.
In the middle of a storm, I think I would too. They're so cute. Come on.
But we did lose a few things in the orchard, and what I did lose, actually, you might be able to help me out here. I lost a huge branch that was full of tamarillos. So I don't know what's happened to our tamarillo tree this year, but it's gone a bit berserk, and this is like its second harvest of tamarillos, a second crop. And so it was laden with tamarillos, and they're not quite ripe yet. They're probably about 3/4 of the way ripe. And this big branch fell absolutely laden with these what am I, and I don't actually, do you know what? I picked them, but I don't know why, but I just didn't want to, I don't know, I didn't want to throw them away.
You can use them. Yeah, you can use them. I mean, the animals don't have to get all these goodies.
They don't like them.
Oh, they don't like them.
They don't like them.
Well, they're probably going to be still a little bit sour, as Tamarillos are, because they're not quite ripe. So that honey that you were telling me about a while ago that's crystallised, your homemade honey.
Oh, the ones that's in the dark, deep backs of my cupboards there. Yeah.
Pull them all out, put them in a pot with a little bit of water. Be careful because honey's got a high melting point, so it's going to splash and spit and carry on. So do it very, very gently. Melt the honey into the water rather than try and boil it. And finely chop up a little bit of ginger, put it in with it, make a nice syrup, reduce it down so it's a very gingery, sugary syrup, and try two ways. It depends how ripe they are. So try one bottle where you're going to pop them into the hot pan and boil them in the syrup for a couple of minutes. Try another one where you just peel them and put them into the jar and pour the hot syrup over them and see which one brings them sweet enough to be edible. But the important thing with doing with fruit like this is that you use a very, very sharp paring knife. The potato peelers and things that people try to use actually bruises soft fruit like that. So a very sharp knife.
Oh, so, okay, right, just back up the bus there a moment. So, to peel them?
Peel them first.
Oh, okay.
You're definitely not going to put them in the skins and all.
Well, it's interesting because some fruit holds so much in the skin, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, but, yeah, I could imagine actually that would be a wee bit tough and probably the
very,
syrup couldn't get through.
Very bitter, very bitter. So,
yeah.
Yes, very finely peel, just take off that outside skin so that you've still got quite a lot of the white pus before you get to the rich red inside.
Oh, well, I might give that a go, actually, because if I don't do anything, I'll probably do this actually straight after our show today, because otherwise they'll just go off. But it did. It seemed such a shame to throw away all that fruit, and I thought, I knew you'd have something that I could do with them. Now, but Irene, you do know me, that I am not a cook. So, okay, I've got a jar of honey, and then you said water. So how much water am I going to put with that if I use that whole jar of honey?
Oh, look, I'm just guessing. And this sort of thing you can't really go wrong with, because if you put too much water in, you just cook it longer and reduce it down longer. The water will evaporate off, boil off. I would guess 250 grams of honey, put about 500 grams of water with a teaspoon of finely chopped ginger.
Now, I've got frozen ginger, fresh frozen ginger. Whew, that was a mouthful. In the freezer, so I can use that. Just grate.
Yes, use that, but I'd probably use a little bit less because the freezing of it quite often makes it stronger.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Isn't that interesting? I would have thought anything fresh was the most strongest. There you go. Well, I have no excuse. I have all of those ingredients, so I'll just find jars big enough to pop them into.
So why do you think your tamarillos have fruited twice in one year? That's quite unusual, isn't it?
I know, they have. And as I threw away that branch, there was another flower. I saw another flower on it.
Oh, really? So the trees are totally confused,
I think so,
about the seasons.
Absolutely, because, again, we were kind of thinking, well, this is a bit odd when it reflowered. And it is absolutely laden. We've got two trees and both of them have come back absolutely laden.
Wow. Okay.
And I did actually wonder whether it was too late for them to actually ripen. So irrelevant of the storm, I'm not sure whether they would have ripened. I don't know if we've got enough sun anymore for them to have fully ripened anyway. But, well, I'll leave the other ones on the tree and just see what happens. Or maybe it's worth giving the tree a wee bit of a break, actually, and chopping them off just so the tree can kind of recuperate.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, a tree that's going to produce two or three times in a year rather than just once, it's got to be very draining on the tree. Or maybe it's Mother Nature's way of providing us with more substance when we've got so many things that aren't producing as well anymore.
See, that is why the ponies have a very, very special job on the little lifestyle block, because they get lots, the tamarillos do get a lot of compost put around them, because as I understand, the tamarillo roots are quite shallow, so you actually have to keep it mulched up quite a bit. So there's we do mulch them every year, and I continuously kind of put pony poop and that on it, so hopefully it's getting enough Yeah, enough stuff. Well, I'll try that because, you know, again, if it's a tree, that's what it does anyway, because I don't know whether that's, oh, I don't know, I don't actually know that much about tamarillos, but I would need to find, if it's going to crop like it is now again, I'm going to have to find something to do with them so that they don't go to waste. I mean, apart from giving them away, which absolutely, but, you know, you don't when you're growing stuff, you don't want it to go to waste, actually. You spent all that effort growing it. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find something. I mean, you never knew anything before you started your lifestyle block, and you've built bridges and made dams and built stables and put in huge gardens and bees. And I mean, you've done so much. It's absolutely amazing. Tamarillo pickles, great. I mean, there's tons of things you can make and do with tamarillo. So,
maybe some of those.
How about tamarillo sauce?
Yeah, but the pickle now, with pickle being... I wonder if some of those actually might go into a pickle rather than bottling them if they're not quite ready, or would you really want...
Try it all. You've got so much. Yeah. You know? And you could put tamarillo and cucumber together for a pickle. No?
Oh, no, that doesn't work in my head.
I quite like the sound of that mushy crunch.
Tamarillo and cucumber. By gosh, I think we need a wee break there because my little mind's busy. Oh, no. Let's have a bit of music.
Let the party rock. Put your hands up, everybody just dance up. We came to party rock, so I show like Mardi Gras. They call me Red Food. I walk in the club with a bottle or two. Shake it, spray it on a body or two. Then walk out the party with a body or two. Oh, I'm gonna get you wet. I'm gonna make you sweat. A night you won't forget. Champagne showers. Popping in the club, we light it up. Let the party rock. Boom, guess who stepped in the room? Sky blue, red, full and gold. Peanut butter, I got rum, nights on noon. And it's about to be a champagne monsoon. Baby girl, you look legit. Come to my table and take a sip. Open wide, cause we're spraying it. 56 bottles ain't paid for shit. I'm gonna get you wet. I'm gonna make you sweat. A night you won't forget. Showers, popping in the club, we light it up. Champagne showers.
Party people, now I want you to grab your bottles, put them up in the air. Now shake that bottle and make it.
We where do you get all this creativity from? I mean, for goodness sake, I wouldn't even dream of something like that. But I don't know, is it a natural thing? Is it a curiosity thing? Is it something that because you like baking or you begin to understand tastes, or is it just a creativity that you kind of think, oh, those two things will go together quite well?
I don't know. I think it's to me, it's why I love Mother Nature so much. I think she just creates people and things the way she wants them to, and you don't even know what she has created in you half the time. I certainly didn't think or dream or know anything about being a chef or being interested in food when I was a young child. But by the time I was 17, 18, I was collecting all sorts of fruits and things from around the neighbourhood and trading with the neighbours. And I had a big storage shed out the back where I had pickles and jams and preserved fruit and everything that you could possibly imagine. I was also lucky enough to be renting a little hippie house which had an old orchard. So I had pears and apples and everything you could imagine. And I literally just cooked. I had nobody teach me. I had no recipe books or anything. I just cooked and I experimented and cooked again and talked to other people. And I think the talent was always there. When I look back on it now, it's something that I just did naturally. So Mother Nature endowed me with this talent, and she had a funny way of pushing me into making sure that it was worked on. So, you know.
You like it though, don't you?
I do.
Enjoy it.
I love it. I get a tremendous amount of sense of creating a meal for people who are just over the moon with it. And yeah, it's just something I don't have to. I never have any recipe books with me. Sometimes I might research something. I might think of something that I want to do, or a client may have asked me for something specific that I hadn't done before. So I'll research it. But when it comes to actually cooking it, it just comes out. It doesn't. I can't follow a recipe. It's totally impossible.
Oh, and I'm totally the opposite. I'm too scared to even go off the recipe, and then I get myself into a real flap if I've misread teaspoon and tablespoon. Oh, crikey. But you know, you're right, it all works out in the end, doesn't it? So are you still doing the truffles, the cooking?
No, I've got my regular clients that I've cooked for years, and so whenever they're wanting a special function, I'll do it. But I'm just finding that a little bit trial, and it takes away from the enjoyment. I still cook for fun and for pleasure and do lots of things for friends and that. But as soon as it started becoming too much of a job and too difficult with the clients, I decided that it was time to give it a miss. It's too much fun.
Well, I think you've kind of given me a little bit of confidence to go, just give it a go. Hey, if it works, you know, I mean, it can't be that bad. And you're right, it's better than throwing stuff away anyway. So maybe I just give things a go and just see what happens. And I think one thing that I have, which you said today, which I will remember, is one whole lot doesn't have to go and do it the same way. You know, halve it, do it slightly differently and see which one works the best. And probably for me, don't be so blasted impatient. You know, you've got to wait till these things cure, or whatever you call them, the preserved gets right before you eat them. That's one of my problems as well. Anyway, we're going to leave it there for today. And we'll see you guys the same place, same time next week. And in the meantime, happy cooking. Yeah, oh yeah, 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 oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.